Okay, so the first question is, three that eat that eat together, it's like they're eating dead sacrifices. So, question number one is, that seems a little extreme. What other questions do we have?
Yeah. So, eat kosher food, and you work out for an hour a day, but will you get a nice body?
Why
can't you be like, okay, maybe fine, we're not getting a mitzvah, why? Because it's necessarily something really bad if you don't say any words at all.
It's like you're stealing from God, but why would that be dead carcass even if you were stealing from God? Like it seems even more...
Seems like a really weird language.
Stealing from
okay,
God.
Good.
Why dead carcass?
What's another question we could ask? Good,
wait,
moving on.
It's exactly what he was saying. But there's no life in it. Life is from
why
God.
Why three people?
I like it. Good.
Why three people?
That's an answer. Why three people? Why not two people? Why not? If two people eat, it's not so bad. But if three people eat together, why is it so bad? Okay, good. These are all questions. Final question we can ask is: does this Mishnah seem to be halachic, or is this Mishnah?
At first glance,
we probably would, most of us would get, this is a nice idea, but it's not halacha. Interestingly enough, the next source bet indicates that the Mishnah Berurah actually writes down Mitzvah Kol Adam L'mod Torah Al Shulchano. A person is supposed to learn Torah. He doesn't say Chiyuv. He says it's a mitzvah, but he does bring it down as Halacha Sefer. You're supposed to learn Torah on your table. Shekol Shulchan Shalom Rav Divrei Torah Ki Ilu Achlu Mizivchem Eiti. Any table where you didn't say Torah, it's like eating dead sacrifices. Interesting, what does the Mishnah Berurah leave out? What doesn't he mention? He mentioned the table,
but... The good one.
No, but he does mention out that it's, if you talk to our...
Food,
site,
food.
No, but he also mentions, leaves out another detail.
That if you talk to our...
Right, that's what Julian said.
Yeah.
The negative, the positive side. But what about numbers? Does he mention...
Three!
He doesn't talk about numbers. He says even if there's two people eating at a table, or one person eating at a table, you should talk Torah. Okay, interestingly enough. But in any case, we're supposed to take Torah at the table. The Katav Ashla and Isaac Horowitz, the Kabbalist, right? The Limud Mishnah o Halacha o Agada o Sifrei Musar ve'eino yotzei b'mamash u'mevarech b'birkat hamazon. It's not good enough to just say benching, because there was an opinion of the Bar Tanura that you don't actually have to say Torah. You could just bench. That's good enough. He says, no, it's not good enough. What he writes is that if you bench, then it takes it out of the status of zivchei mitim. You're no longer eating a dead carcass. But it's not on the level of eating before Hashem, before the Shekhinah. What's the only way that we can get to actually eating before the Shekhinah? What do we have to do? We need to speak actual words of Torah, or Musar, or Halacha, or something like that. Okay? And in fact, there are many people who do that. They have like a daily Halacha with them and their wife, just at their own table. And he suggests, say some sort of Tehillim. What Tehillim do we traditionally say at our meal? Shir Malas or Imashkechech Yerushalayim, right? With the honor of Bavel. But he actually suggests Acher Birch Namazim Mizmor Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. So where does that custom come from? From this Mishnah Berurah, based on the Zohar, who says that you should say that every meal, not just on Shabbos. Every meal you should say Mizmor LaDavid. When I was starker, I used to actually do that. I would always sing Mizmor LaDavid at every single meal. And so, according to the Mishnah Berurah, this is actually a halacha, not just a kuti wuti pirkei avos, that we're supposed to eat, learn Torah at our meal. Moving on to the next source, where biblically do we see this concept that the way a Jew, that there's really, the way a Jew eats is extremely important. That the way that human beings eat is fundamental to being a Jew. What pasuk first indicates that eating is integral to being a Jew and eating in the right type of way?
Avram
goes out and doesn't just eat on his own. He invites people to his meal. Very good. What else? Yoni, where do we see eating? The first time we see eating as significance in Torah. Adam, exactly. What's the first mitzvah in the Torah?
Don't eat from the tree.
Incorrect. What's the first mitzvah in the Torah? Eat from all the trees of the field. Look at all the trees. Eat from them. What's the second mitzvah in the Torah? Don't eat from this tree.
That's the first
first commandment is eat from everything. The second mitzvah is don't eat from this particular.
They always say it's Rosh Chodesh, though.
That's the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people. I'm not talking about the first mitzvah of the Jewish people. I'm talking about the first mitzvah commandment given to mankind is eat. So in other words, eating is of fundamental importance.
You live to eat, don't
and
say it
maybe
twice.
That's why that's the first part I gave to you guys about eating. And the last, one of our last mishpahs, maybe last or second to last, is about eating. And hopefully next week we're going to have a bracha bee, which is all about enhancing our eating. Okay? So the first mitzvah is God tells Adam, you got to learn to control the way you eat. Why do you think the first mitzvah that was given to mankind related to eating? Why is it so fundamental?
Because it's fundamental. Why?
Why?
Because you need it to live.
You need to eat. We interact with it all the time.
It gives you energy.
It gives us energy, and we're constantly doing it. And it's also, who else eats besides man?
Animals.
Animals. And therefore, when we eat, a part of us becomes animalistic.
We have to,
a part of us
we have to separate ourselves and not be like them.
Exactly. Well, so since it's something that we're so fundamentally interacting with, and since the essence of the Torah is to not be an animal, to learn how to be an angel in an animal's body, so doesn't it make so much sense that the first mitzvah given to mankind relates to eating?
Oh, somebody talks about this.
I'm sure you don't.
You have four different ways of making yourself maybe eating non-animalistic, including ethically sourcing it, eating it among other people, saying bracha over it, and thinking about.
Show me that article.
I will. It's really great.
Yeah, it's the, what are the differences between a man and an animal? Men, yeah, animals eat alone. No, men eat in the company of others.
Good. So that doesn't that relate very much to why is it so fundamental when you're eating amongst
men,
three people?
Animals eat whatever they want. Men choose what they eat.
When you're eating amongst three people,
he's the concept of a suda as the archetype of the meal.
So doesn't that put a whole new spin on why dafka when you're eating with three people in a social context we have to raise up and sanctify the meal? As I ask a question, do you want to move inside into that base Knesset?
I like
it's
cold.
Okay, so I think we should. I'll say a bracha achrona, and then we'll all just simply walk indoors and
hotel?
eat in the hotel lobby. Everyone will be
okay. We haven't seen
it before.
We're
going down to the Kanel Mar while we're there.
Yeah, let's just say a bracha, okay? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam ala mechia v'alchal chalav v'alchemat asher eitzchem v'asher v'arach av'a asher etzitzem v'chaz avtim v'chom mepriya v'chahot av'arach v'na Adonai Eloheinu v'yishrael nachal v'yishrael nachal v'atziyon nishkan v'yodachal v'nzvechach v'alachal u'bnei yishalayim yirakotach v'mehra v'yemeinu v'alino otach v'nam chini v'yana v'nacham mepriya v'chahot v'zul v'echal v'ya b'dish avtara ki atah Adonai tov mi'pi v'kon alachal l'aret v'almechia baruch atah Adonai l'aret v'almechia baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam b'rinu v'sh Okay, guys, throw out the food that's garbage, and we'll just quickly move back to the hotel lobby and finish up this year there.
Bye-bye.
Yeah,
I was sorry about that before.
No, it was funny. Truth is, you probably won't remember this year, but you remember that guy.
If you happen to see David Foreman on the way.
Here's his food drop and how do
you
eat?
Invite him to our shoot.
How do you think?
You think I'm kidding?
I really, really want to meet Rabbi Foreman.
You should meet him.
Like we'd lose our critical mass.
Don't say no.
Everybody has
some. Rabbi, you're sick.
What are you
going to
be sick? Is it cold? But actually, what are you
doing
on mine?
Yeah, I'm going to make a bracha at the end with that card. Yeah. Save it. Okay, take the bag and then leave.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I'll give it to you at the end of this year. I mean, I can give it to you now. Just let me sit down, okay? Guys, up these steps, no? Guys, up these steps, make it right.
Yeah, because there's only a 2-hour bus ride. No, I was 2 hours away. I bus back in the morning, my camera said the other week. I bus
on a Friday afternoon.
On a Friday afternoon, I got back from Haifa in 2 hours. No, not even an hour and a half.
Guys, this way. Do you want to take a Marv break and then continue afterwards?
No, because I want to get the dollar.
Okay, we'll do Marv and then the rest of it.
Okay.
For Saver.
My little star.
You okay, Ross?
Fine. Tim made it a windy night.
He did indeed, sir.
Now, this is your favorite type of all that food.
No.
How are we doing so far?
Where was that guy from?
I couldn't figure it out.
He's like, it sounded like he didn't know Hebrew or English.
There's always a little bit of a risk when you take random people.
Also, at the same time, he had an Arabic accent.
Oh, I did. It was fun. I just felt bad for you guys. I wanted to be here.
Saying nice ideas.
We've just gotten on for hours. Like,
I don't know. I feel bad just by stopping you.
I'm a man. I'm a huge fan. I would love to choose if you wanted to do this. I have a lot of questions.
Great job.
Good to
you. Julian, great seeing you.
Thanks
for introducing me. Hey.
Guys, want to sit right here? So we're now saying that the first time we interact with food was back in the Garden of Eden. There's another famous time when food played a very, very central role in the chosenness of the Jewish people. Isaac and Jacob certainly, when Isaac asked them to get food. There's many times that food plays a fundamental role, but there's an interesting Hasidic drasha when Esav gives away his Bechor rights. He says, "Haliteni nami adom adom azeh." Give me that red stuff. And then he trades away the Bechor rights for the soup. So comes Chassidus and says, because what does it mean? What's the essence of being a Jew? Someone who doesn't just rashly trade things in and just eat like an animal. Give me that red stuff. That's the way an animal talks. Rather, he eats slowly, nicely, like a mensch. And so maybe that's why the Jewish people became the Jewish people over food. And that's why when we started off this year, I said, just take exactly what you want. Not like a chazer sometimes, like you're just grabbing at the popcorn and you can't even control yourself. You don't know why you're doing it. You take what you want. You eat what you want. You eat it slowly, like a mensch. You also enjoy it much more in that way. So those are a few biblical precedents for these halachas of Hilchos Derech Eretz, eating like a mensch. Now, Rav Shlomo, of course, is going to take this a little deeper in the way that only Rav Shlomo can. And soon we'll go to the halachot in the actual Shulchan Aruch. But somebody read with a nice Rav Shlomo voice the English.
I want to tell you something very deep. I receive life from the food, and I receive life from the soup, so too. I bring life to the soup. Until now it's just soup, but now the soup has become part of me, and I'll raise it up for me. Rav Shemto teaches that if you were have spiritual eyes, I would see how your soup is begging, please eat me, I want to be part of you. I want to be on the level of a man. I want to give you the strength to pray and to live. There are people who, as soon as they get life from soup, they begin to lower, to be lower than the soup. They lie on the floor and open their mouth if they're on a lower level than the soup. For the holy tzaddiki, that's another matter altogether. I'm there to thank God to see that the Lubavitcher Rebbe eat on the night of Rosh Hashanah. You could see in a tangible way how he raised up the whole world. It's told about the Rebbe of raising, but since he was a child, when he ate, he never lowered his tzaddiki food. He brought the food up to eat. He went home.
Okay. So what's he saying now? Let's paraphrase. Let's try to. He said very nice Hasidic ideas, but Tachlis, what's he trying to say here?
He's saying that the food actually elevates a person and gives us energy, energy to actually live.
And what does that do to the food when we do that? What do we actually do?
It fulfills your destiny. It fulfills your legacy.
It raises up the food. This food is begging me and saying, eat me. And you're raising up the energy which is inside this food and raising it to its purpose, to achieve its function. So the food can either be raised up for me, or what's the alternative if the food isn't raised up to me? It can bring me down. And that's why he's saying that a yid doesn't go down to the food. A yid doesn't lower him, let the food lower him. A yid raises up the food. He masters the food. He doesn't let the food say, eat me, eat me, eat me, and he eats it even when he doesn't want to eat it. He's in control. He decides what he's eating. By eating it in that type of way, he takes control and he actually raises up the food. Okay, it's something which is very, very, I guess, foreign to our culture, because we live in a culture of indulgence. You eat whatever you want, as long as you don't get fat. But this is saying, and nothing to do with calories. It has to do with animalism. An animal, if you eat the food like an animal, it will lower your spiritual level and the energy, it will bring you down. And if you take control, like the Holy Rebbe, like the Tzaddikim would do, you're actually raising up the entire world. Every tree in that field was raised up when you have that vegetable soup with Holy Kavana. It's a Kabbalistic idea, it's a Hasidic idea, but it's also just a kind of like a reasonable, a dignity idea. Make sense? Everyone understand Rosh Shlomo? Beautiful. Okay. So all that was kind of a nice Hasidic introduction. Now let's see some ideas in the Shulchan Aruch itself about laws of how do we eat like a mensch. Okay? Seder. Just one, you missed Julia. We said that Yaakov Avinu, when he got the Bechor rights from Esav, Esav traded away when he ate fast. So a Jew, first and foremost, eats slowly. And doesn't let the food take control of him. Okay? So, Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Ayin, Halacha Zayin. We'll go around in a circle. Idan, start us off.
Lo
Yoch. So what does that mean?
Don't
eat a piece as big as an egg. In other words, maybe you've met somebody like this, he's taking a big piece of chicken and he's gulping it down. The Shulchan Aruch is saying, don't eat such a big piece. Cut it up first, eat into small pieces, and then eat it. Because what's somebody who just eats a big piece?
A gargaron.
A gargaron. What's a gargaron? What does it even sound like?
No, it's
pretty
much.
He's like just gulping it down. He doesn't really. He's not eating like a mensch. He's eating like an animal. Okay, that's what animals do. Good? Relevant? Okay, so first cut your pieces into small pieces, like your mom said. Good. Next, halacha yoni. This is a little hard one. He's saying that, have you ever seen this thing where people will take bread and they'll put it in a bag instead of just throwing it out? Crumbs that are left on the table? The halacha is if it's more than a gezeis, it's a problem to just throw it out.
Really?
If it's less than a gezeis, if it's perurim, crumbs, technically you can throw it out. But nonetheless, the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch Reit says it could cause a person to be poor if he does this. Even though it's not halachically wrong, it might cause a person to be poor. Why would it cause a person to be poor? What's the logic there?
Selling God, I have too much.
Yeah, and it's not valuing food. So God says, oh, you don't value food? There will become a day when you ain't gonna have nothing, right? And you're gonna want to eat those crumbs. So therefore, again, this is not halacha, but as an idea, there are many people who are machmir that they don't just throw out crumbs; they put it in a little bag and then they place it in the garbage to show respect for bread, which is a staple of life. Okay, make sense. Next halacha, actually, this one's a Mishnah Brura.
Oh, you're in Chet.
The Jerusalem, to stamp on the bread. Kishinev din ayideze.
In chashash kevan shehu pechot mifzit v'yesh machmirun kishyesh teharbe pirurin v'yisater ko except.
Okay, so what he's saying now is it's not a problem per se to like put in water or to throw it out. You're allowed to do that. It's just since it's less anxious, but to throw like to stamp on it and to ruin the bread, like or to get it wet or something, that's problematic. Why? What's the difference between ruining it or throwing it out?
If you're hungry, you would be able to get it back.
No, that's not. It's not a practical difference. It's a respect difference. Meaning, practically, you can throw the bread out, but we have to show a certain amount of respect to bread because this is not just something we put in our body, but it has a spark of godliness in it. Okay? Good. Next halacha, Orech Chaim Kuf Ayin Tes. I'll read this one. Ein Zarkina Pat. Along the same lines, we don't throw bread. Mishum Bizayon, which means Bizui. Like what the Esav did. He was Mevazet. Bizayon Achalim. It's a disgrace to food to throw it. Although I have seen people throw bread, and I'm not sure what the heter for that is. Because the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't do that. Similarly, you can't throw like fruits or things like that, which will be destroyed if you throw it, like fruits. However, like nuts or things like that won't get ruined, I can throw. You can have a food fight with hard things. I probably wouldn't recommend it though. It just doesn't seem to be like the spirit of what we're talking about, but. Certainly if it's bread, which we show special respect to, or if it's moist and it'll get ruined, that's considered disgraceful. Clear? Good?
Mr. Broody?
What does that mean?
You see? Okay. On the ground, you can't walk over and let it sit. You have to pick it up.
You have to pick it up. If you see food, bread on the floor, there's halacha, you're supposed to pick it up. Why again?
Oh, because like, it's respect.
It's disgraceful.
What about if you see it, sometimes when we're walking down the streets, on the way to the gym, you see people taking bread, they don't want to
go out. I guess for there, if there's a purpose, if you're giving it to animals, then it's a different situation. I think there, it's okay. Okay. Next halacha when it comes to Hilchos Derech Eretz is we're not going to go through all the details, but something called Baal Tashchis, not to be wasteful. Okay? So, what is the source, then, before you even look in, is a good trivia. This will all be on the Bracha Bowl test. What's the source for Baal Tashchis in the Torah? The Isser of wasting food.
This one.
What? Where? Okay, Yoni, read it. So what's the context here? You guys familiar? Anybody know what story we're dealing with when we get this Indian of not wasting the tree? It's in a time of war, where there's a siege on the war, and despite the fact that everyone's killing each other, you're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree for no particular reason. So it's pretty crazy. You can't kill anyone you want.
Right.
Yeah. Under certain situations.
Okay.
It's not that you can't waste in any situation, but if it's for no reason, it is wasteful. And that's even worse. So Kal V'Chomer, in a normal situation, you're not allowed to lose that sense of humanity and that lack of appreciation for God's gifts. You're not allowed to waste. Okay? Now, what does it mean practically to waste? It depends on the context. For example, the Panini Halacha talks about how a person shouldn't put on their plate too much food if he's not going to eat it all. Now you might say, well, in certain contexts it doesn't really matter because there anyway all the food's gonna get chucked. Yeah.
Why are they doing Kiddush Laban?
Because it's the time to do Kiddush Laban.
But
after Yom Tov, when you're dressing in your finest.
You didn't do it after Yom Tov.
I did.
No, like, as a club, you did it after Yom Tov.
I probably forgot. Okay. Andrew, grab a seat.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for the kids are, let's say if you're doing a wedding, one way of practically applying this idea of Baal Tashkes.
Have I ever done it? Should I do it after Shabbos?
You can do it anytime. It's fine. After Shabbos. Let's squeeze in, sorry. We're in the middle of everything. So, what's it called? Let's say you're doing a wedding. One way of manifesting this concept of Baal Tashkes is you tell the you don't just let them throw out the food. You give it to poor people. There's an organization that comes and collects all the food and gives it to poor people. Shulchan Shulchan in Israel.
Robin Hood,
whatever. There's a mitzvah according to the Menini Halacha to take the leftover food and rehash it. Neely's amazing at this. She can make anything into a soup. So it's not just a resource. It's not just resourceful. It's a mitzvah, and it's not just to save money. It's to show respect for God's creations, and therefore there's this concept not to be wasteful. At the same time, sometimes people take this a little too far, and they say, because it would be a waste to not eat it. I have to eat all the chocolate cake on the table because it would be such a waste. Bad news. It's just as much of a waste if it goes into your body unnecessarily and just ruins your body and then makes you feel all icky as it would be to throw it in the garbage. It doesn't mean that in no scenario can we ever throw things out. There are scenarios when we can throw things out, but if we can reuse it and rehash it and give it to someone else, that certainly is a big, strong Jewish value and one of Derech Eretz. Okay? Good? Obviously, that's a whole shiur in itself of Baal Tashkes. I'm just kind of in pointers. Yeah. Of course.
You've got 2 pounds of meat, and you take 1 pound of it. You still throw the second pound.
That's fine. Whatever it is. If you have nowhere to store it, you have nowhere to store it.
No, you have room to store. You only want 1 pound of it.
Good.
Did you just...
No, you didn't waste.
And you threw out the second
pound. You did waste. You threw it out.
Is that Baal Tashkes?
Look, it depends, because it's also such a thing as limited time. If you have the time to go give that food to someone else, then that's a mitzvah. That's a great thing to do. But if you're a busy yeshiva guy and you're learning all day, and you go from shiur to shiur to shiur, and I don't think it's necessarily a waste to say, I just don't have time right now to start running across the world. But if you can be resourceful around it or think about people.
I know the case you're thinking of, and it's not that. Because in that case, they still eat it.
So it would be ideal to... If you can. Okay, let's move on. So, let's move on. So we've talked about now Baal Tashkes. We talked about not throwing bread. Shlomo Eli, you with us? Not throwing bread is a halacha we've mentioned.
Yeah, I know. I always tell people don't throw bread.
The Shulchan Aruch says... Shkacha Pratis. So it's a real halacha in the Shulchan Aruch.
I know, that's why I said it.
We've talked about eating slowly and like a mensch. And what other halacha have we mentioned? Not eating a big amount of food at once. Not indulging in only eating small pieces because we're not animals. Okay, now we're going to run through a few more laws of Derech Eretz. Whose turn are we up to? Idan, your turn.
Oh,
you'd bet. So Shlomo Eli, do you have a source sheet?
Yeah, I do.
We're up to you'd bet. Yeah, I skipped around. I cut and pasted a little bit. I hope you'll forgive me for not giving you the full picture, just for time's sake. Go.
For sure.
Go for it. Shnayim. Bakara. In the olden days, like in some Bedouin tents, they would all eat from a big plate. You should not start eating before your friend. Because then what's going to happen? He's going to start thinking, you're going to take my portion. Which may not be relevant so much in the sense of we don't eat from one plate. But when is this relevant?
Buffet.
Or
you don't save.
When there's only one big piece of pie and you start eating before everyone else, and people are going to say, they're going to take my pie. As a general rule, Rav Tarrigan, I heard this in the name of Moshe Tarrigan, you shouldn't be the first guy to take food from Gush, from Moshe.
See, like,
don't be the first guy to take food.
I understand where he's coming from, but the whole
wholeheartedly have to disagree, because as much as nice as it would be to let people go first, at the same time, then you are losing out, and potentially you won't get what you wanted.
But if everyone had this attitude...
Can I have
because,
a...
For example, you someone else go first, then they're breaking the halacha and not letting you know of going first. So then it's better for you...
I'm not saying it's a halacha.
He's more inclined.
I'm not saying it's a halacha. I'm saying it's a good advice to be a man.
When you take the hit, is that called moichlin?
Moichlin.
When you take the hit.
That was the most serious?
Yeah.
What's it called?
You know what?
Moichlin.
I'll moichlin you. I'll take the first one.
You're welcome. Shlomo, you're so moichlin.
Okay, next halacha. Next
halacha.
I give up. I forgive. I'm moichlin.
We used it today.
We used it yesterday.
What was the word?
Yonatan. Halacha gimel.
What's the context?
Go for it. You leave a corner, even the language reminds us of the corner of the field. You leave a corner of the, a little bit of food on your plate. Not everyone does this. Chassidim are machmir. That's a different halacha, when you bench, the food should be on the table. But here he's saying that you should be a little food left at the table. Now, why did we want to leave a little food left on the table?
However, in Chinese culture,
it's offensive to not eat your entire plate.
Yeah,
right.
Offensive to your entire plate. It shows the
okay, but we're talking about Jewish culture here. In Jewish culture, there is a concept of leaving food. One, so that in the olden days, for practical level reasons, they used to leave food and poor people would actually come and take the leftovers. But two, there's a Hasidic idea that an animal, what does an animal do? He eats the last, till the last bite and licks up the...
I'd like to argue at that point on Yom Yom the first time. There are these bones, meat,
and
2 days and change the first
okay,
time.
Not all animals. But
that?
The point is that is why there's a Hasidic idea.
How many
There's a Hasidic idea of leaving a little food on the plate to show that you're not an animal. And they say that the blessing comes down onto that, the shrine, to what you left onto the plate. And so it's a good practice to leave a little food, show you're not an animal, show you have self control. Next halacha, Julian Dalit, in Mistak.
Oh my gosh,
Rabbi. Dalit? No, we're in Source Yud Bet, but Halacha Yud Dalit.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Dalit. Ein mistachin b'fnei halacha v'lo b'fnan neto shalo l'bay shal.
So what don't we do when someone's eating? When someone's eating, we don't? We don't?
Take the food.
We don't look at them.
Oh, really?
When someone's eating, you don't stare at a person. Why not?
Because it makes them uncomfortable.
Why does it make it uncomfortable?
It's weird.
Because they're animalistic state.
Oh my god.
They're in their animalistic state, like Jonas Tan said.
Ezra always stares at me while I'm eating and comments on how I eat.
So
now you'll quote him their shulchanot. So good. So we don't stare at a person because he's kind of like he's doing his animalistic thing and we don't want to embarrass him. And that could like make him very self-conscious. The way Shlomo says it is a little different. Shlomo quotes, it's on I think the next story sheet. Shlomo quotes the Zohar from Shlomo Karlbach. There's a commentary, and it says the Holy Zohar teaches that the time of eating is a time of war. It's called. I just moved to an English source. That's why, in fact, how do you call war in Hebrew? Which is related to the word lechem. So when you're eating lechem, it's a time of war, where your spiritual and your physical are going to war with each other. A war between me and the world. Am I stronger than the world, or is the world stronger than me? Am I going to give into myself my taivas, or am I going to have self-control? But this is a war I must fight alone. I have to, and when I'm eating, I'm really just focusing. I can't let it overcome me. When I eat a vegetable soup, I can raise up an entire field of vegetables. If I eat an apple just to fill my stomach, without feeling that Hashem gave me the apple to give me life, I brought the apple low. But when the Bava of our Rebbe ate challah, there's no holiness greater than this. This is holier than anything we can imagine. Okay, so we're in this state of milchama when we're eating, and therefore we gotta let him do his work alone.
What about the Rebbe?
The Bava of our Rebbe was on the highest level.
Well, but he ate challah, like he's eating.
No, there's nothing wrong with eating. Eating is great, but eating in a holy way, not more than you need. You gotta go? Okay, say it. We'll see you later. Okay. Oh, you both gotta go? Okay.
8:42, I
gotta
go.
What do you guys gotta do? Alright, it doesn't matter.
I'll stay, Rob. I don't have plans. Okay. Rob, you wanna get a burger by the afters? I don't know you're eating there, but just wanna walk with me there.
We'll talk. Okay.
Where are you going?
Say it. Next halacha, Shlomo. Hey, and nechnas the bias, koma, shiroma, lo, ba, bias, yase. You know, if I have one practical thing, take this short sheet, and the next time you're eating, read it. read it before you eat dinner tonight and see if your eating experience is a totally different experience. It's one of my favorite quotes from Rav Shimshon Pinchas. Have a good night.
I'm Michael. Michael.
Have a good night. Have a good night. Okay. Come on, let's finish up the story sheet together.
Did they all leave?
It's just me and you.
Okay, I got this. So, I might as well show us plans.
Okay. So, we're going through the Shulchan Aruch, the laws of eating properly. Next.
Might as well finish out this day strong, right?
Absolutely. And nechnas labayis, if you go into a house, yes, that's it. When you go into someone's house, the mom says you should eat, you eat.
See, I always feel bad about doing that, because I don't like taking their food. I don't know them.
That's why there's another halacha that the Baal HaBayis should eat a little bit to make me feel comfortable. Eat as much.
So when they offer me food, I'm supposed to say yes.
Yeah, I do. If you really want to stoke them out, ask for doubles. Then they know you really will.
Okay.
You'll be good at that one. Okay, next.
Yeah.
Lo ye kapdan basuda. That means don't be like mocked in your meal. You know, sometimes people go to the waitress and they're like, this is not salty enough. And they're just mean to them.
See, I don't do that normally because I'm Canadian. Canadians don't complain at restaurants. Also, I used to run a lunch program, so I know how it feels to complain at. There was one time in Israel when I complained over food in a restaurant because someone said, Shamali, I was like, I'm so hungry. Shamali, you need to complain. Like, if you don't complain...
So I was about to say, there's nothing wrong with... If the food's bad, you can tell them it's bad.
No. So I said, I complained. I said, I want more food. And long story short, I got more free food.
So there's nothing wrong with complaining sometimes, but there's a way to do it which is respectful and nice and with love and not with anger, which is the way that's something manifested. There's a famous story of the Moshe Feinstein that he was in the yeshiva bachur and he was gaining a little weight. So his sister came and said, "Oh, you must be a great cook." She ate it, she spat it out. Disgusting. And Moshe, how do you eat this? And she said, "You're right, but like, I don't want to make the chef feel bad, so I just keep eating." And then she gives me double, and I don't want to make her feel bad, so I just keep eating. So that's emotion. He was on a high level. But as for the rest of us, we can not be get mad when the food is low. The next halacha: Lo yichal adam kipruta kibetzav imar achal erzeg garam. He said, "Don't eat a big amount. Eat slowly." Lo yiste kosav avat achad yinshat erzeg gargara shnayim derech eretz shlosha erzeg migasi harav. When you're drinking a drink, don't drink it in one big swig.
What if you're really thirsty?
One. Two. Like a mensch.
Okay.
Because a non-mensch just chucks it down, an animal. But the Shulchan Aruch is saying, but at the same time, don't be too overly higher than your spiritual level. Okay, next. Lo yisa. Let's go to... Okay, you're dead. Shtayim shiyoshvin al shulchan, agad v'poshet yadchila v'ashalech yadav v'pnei mish shegadom v'meno areze gargaron. Two people are sitting at a table, the greater one should eat first, and don't eat take food before someone is greater than you. Again, this is not like halacha mitora. It all depends on
like
the scenario.
It's just
manners, and the concept is like
you live your life.
Yeah, let this person, he's on a higher spiritual level. Don't be a chata. Okay, next. Anechnas lebayit lo yamar tnuli lechol ad yomahem. Go into someone's house. Don't say give me food. Rather, they should offer you first. If you're going to their soul, you're going to their places. You don't want to put yourself in an unrespectful way. Next. Basically saying, don't do disgusting things. Don't do things that are going to make the person you're sitting next to you say, "Ugh." If you're like playing with your food and that's going to make you have to have respect, that's not respect. Okay, next. Don't, this is an interesting halacha. You're not supposed to drink and then give to your friend.
Oh, just don't share drinks.
Don't share drinks. Don't be a germy.
Perfect.
So later it says that in certain situations, if your friend doesn't mind, that is okay. But in general, amongst family, it might be a little different if people aren't mocked. But in general, it's actually an initial mock that you should be, because people get freaked out about it and it could be a little dangerous and bacteria or whatever. So better not to drink from the cup because, you know, be a germy. Okay. A waiter shouldn't eat with them unless he asks permission. Finally, You drank something, clean it out so there's no bacteria so that it's nice
for you. Clean off, like, wipe yourself out on a napkin.
Exactly. Okay. Now, two more sources that I think relate very much strongly. First of all, where do we get this whole concept of eating on a biblical level? Of eating with Kedusha?
It says in Kedushim to you.
Be holy! And how does Ramban interpret to be holy?
Eat holy, wash the way you eat.
All the physical things we do, not just eating, but also sex. And the point is, it's not that there's anything...
That's not relevant to me right now.
Right, but the point is, it's not that the Torah is specifically giving us any particular action, it's rather the way you're doing it, are you doing it like an animal, or are you doing it like a holy person, like an angel? So, relating to that, I want us to read this beautiful maimar called The Holiness of Eating. I translate it by Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Why don't you read first, Omar?
A person must know there's nothing more dangerous for a person than being attached to the pleasures of this world. On the other hand, one of the moments when a person is most attached to Hashem is when he eats. When does a person feel that most he receives his life from Hashem? Naturally, there's one situation where a person feels that Hashem is connected to you, and that's when you eat. But a person can eat a piece of bread, and it's Maisa Behema, as if he's hungry, he inhales it. That thought of who gave him the food, or a person can take a slice of bread and enter his presence. He gets vitality from that bread and gets a state of Veikut. According to the Kabbalists, eating is called doing Beyurim.
Beyurim.
Beruim. Each item of food that we eat is made of many physical parts. There's a special part of the food that we don't always think of, the word of God that makes every item exist. In other words, Hashem said, "Let there be sky," and to this day, that statement makes the sky exist. So in every food, there is the word of Hashem. Where does the spiritual part of the food go? The word of God is returned to Hashem through the bracha we make on food. The action is also an action of Berur, where we break down the spiritual aspect of the food and send it back to its source. Before a person eats, he should ask himself, why am I eating? If the answer is, because I'm hungry, then he is about to do an animalistic act. And even if the food is kosher lamadrin, if he is only thinking about quieting his hunger and the taste of food, he's talking about a maseh behema. A person must stop himself for a moment and say to himself, blessed is Hashem who made this food. Hashem, if I don't eat, I'll die. This drink is also tasty and even bubbly. And all you gave me so that I should enjoy. What I deserve this is truly the chasdei Hashem. That and then a person is eating the heg al Hashem.
Awesome. So let's sum up. What did Pinkus say?
Just appreciate that Hashem gave you the food and just rush into eating the food.
Even
if it's like kosher super mahadrin food, you just rush in and inhale it like and don't appreciate that Hashem gave it to you, it doesn't count.
Exactly. And he actually recommends verbalizing every single time you eat it. Wow, Hashem gave me food. Amazing. And this is what I love, this language. Eating can either be the way to get close to God, because it's mamish giving you life, even more than tefillah, like, wow, God's giving me life right now, if I'm thinking about it, eating consciously. Or eating can be the thing that totally makes you the farthest from God. Mm-hmm. Which makes so much sense now that the first mitzvah that God gave mankind was relating to eating, right? Because it can either bring us so far or bring us so close. It's all about our Kavana. So I personally would love to read this maimer every single time I sit down to have a meal. If the shlah has this thing that you should do tshuva before you eat, read this, raise the holy sparks up before every single time we eat. Okay, a few more Hilchos Derech Eretz, Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes, Lo yechal adam ad shetit malei kreitzo, eli fot kmo rivyam mitzvayato. A person should not eat till satiation, rather leave a fourth of his body still not completely satiated. Also for health reasons, right? Because you don't realize that you're full until 20 minutes later and it's unhealthy to overeat. But also because, in the Shemartim and Nashvatek, not just health, but it's a mitzvah in the Torah that you have to guard your body. But also for holiness reasons, an animal just eats and eats and eats. But a yid has self-control. Okay, and so Ramam, good. Now, in this week's Parsha, there's the other extreme. I know what you're going to ask me. So, Rabbi, are you telling me we should be ascetics and never eat and fast? No, I'm not saying that. What's the pasuk in this week's parsha, which is why I chose this topic? You read for us. It's really your zone. So, a nazir, what korban does he have to bring?
Khatat.
Why does he have to bring a khatat?
Because he's saying, we think it's a chadat for because he should never have accepted a nazir root upon himself in the first place because he wants to distance himself from what God allowed him to do.
Right. On the one hand, it's a very holy thing. The Torah says he's very holy because...
Oh, maybe that's what Shavuot... Oh, it's Vartorah.
Right on this.
I was going to run on Shavuot.
Anyway, bro. But this is a nice... On the one hand, he's holy, this guy, because he saw what this drunkard and then the sota and all the terrible things that happened with overindulging in the food. And that's one extreme, and he's holy for separating himself from that. And on the other hand, to completely separate yourself from physical is also not ideal. And that's why it means chatat, says Gemara Nazir. Tanya Rabbeleza Kfar, Mama Amar, Vichaper Lab, Meshach Chata, Nefesh. He was a Nefesh Chata, the Elisitzi Erasma, Mina Yayin. He made himself in pain because he didn't have wine. Person decides not to enjoy Hashem's beautiful world, that's also considered a sin. So that's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. It's not the only opinion, but of course there is this idea that we should enjoy Hashem's beautiful world. But everything has to be defined in its proper context. Okay, two more halachas just about Hilchas Derech Eretz. One is what we say in Shema every day. You should give grass to your animals, and then you should eat.
And be satiated.
So what do we learn from there? What comes first?
The animals comes first.
First you give to your animal, and then you eat. So Reha Halachan comes from the Shema. Good.
I know that one.
You have an animal at home?
No, my dad always used to tell me that when he had a cat as a child, his father would always feed the cat first before he ate.
Good. Got a good dad. Okay. And one more, of course, this is a very, very famous one. But one more. Hilchas Derech Eretz. Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chazayin says, "Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Gdol Achnas Zorchas Me'akabalat Me'akbalat Pnei Hashchina." Greater is greeting guests, like that guy who we greeted to our shir before, than even greeting the Shechina. Even, you know, davening. How did he know that? How did he know it's so great? Greater than greeting God. Techtiv Vayomer Inam Atzatichin Menecha Al Natavur. Avram is in the middle of a revelation talking with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and what does he say? Hold on, God, I gotta go greet some guests. So we just think it's a cute little mitzvah, but it's the greatest mitzvah. Have people at your house, have the Shabbos guests. It's a tremendous schus. Hashem should mezakeh us to be hosts and to know how to be great hosts, to know how to be great guests, to know how to eat properly. And I'll finish off with one story. I think I told this in the beginning of the year, because it's one of my favorite stories. It's the chocolate story. You remember the chocolate story? Yeah, here's the chocolate story. I was in the army, and my mom came. I had an off Shabbos, and she gave me chocolate, because she's a great mom. And I remember that Friday, I bought a sefer by the Chida. And the Chida has a cute little sefer that I was learning all the time. So I got up to the base and had a salami sandwich. Now, my whole life, I know that when I overeat, I don't feel good spiritually, and when I overindulge, it's bad for me. But I do it anyway sometimes because I love food, right? Like everyone else. But I really struggle with that. I know that it's bad for me spiritually. So we had my sandwich, and I was full. But, and also there was like 4 minutes left until we had to stand. But then I felt something in my pocket. What did I feel? A chocolate. So my Yetzer Hara says, no, keep, don't eat it. It's overindulging. You don't need it.
Your meat?
No, my part of chocolate. I already ate the chocolate. And plus, you need time to bench properly. So don't eat it. Then my Yetzer Hara says, eat it. It's delicious. Don't worry, you'll bench fast. And then it even makes a good justification. It's a mitzvah because your mom gave it to you. Keep it up. You should do it. My Yetzer Hara's like, no, don't listen to him. You know. Sorry, like, damn it. They're fighting. It's all happening in my head. So what did I decide to do? Like any good Jew?
Not eat it.
I compromised. I said, I'll eat it, but I'll learn a little while I eat. I pulled it out of my pocket, opened up my new Sefer. It was all melty. And I didn't even realize when I opened the Sefer, the chocolate got all over my Sefer. Here's the crazy thing. What page did I randomly turn to? The Chida tells us to eat like a mensch. That a person shouldn't just indulge into his food. He should really think before he eats. Amazing. It was teaching me two things. One, that this idea that we should be holy when we eat. Two, that Hashem cares about every single choice you make. Even how much, if I eat this orange or not, every little action Hashem's watching over me. And, you know, and eating's it can be the greatest fixing in the world, the greatest way of getting close to God, or it can make us far. And thank God every single day we have an opportunity to get so close to Hashem. And even if we messed up the meal before, don't worry, there's another meal coming to bring us higher through words of Torah, through eating slowly, eating conscientiously, and thanking Hashem with every bite. Not overindulging, not eating unhealthfully,
but eating in a way that really brings us close to Hashem, and then knowing, having the ability to date, that's enough. What I personally recommend for myself is make a plate and stick to it. Whatever you decide to eat, that's what I'm eating. Not taking doubles, triples, and snacking. Whatever you eat, you eat it slowly, and that's it.
You know, I was the last person to finish their food earlier.
Yeah?